This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 195 for Friday, July 25th, 2014. Welcome back. We are closing in on closing in on something. There were a lot of words floating in front of my face there. I don't really know what half of them are. We're closing in on episode number 200. We'll have to think of something special to do. But for now, let's concentrate on this week. I'm Phil Nickinson, host of the little show, editor of AndroidCentral.com, freshly shaven. For those of you who were watching the video last week and wondered why I was looking more and more like Jerry every day, which is not to say a bad thing, Jerry.
Okay.
How about that recovery, huh? It's just Florida. It's hot. I was starting to look like my father, actually. Again, not a bad thing, but I think it was kind of freaking my wife out a little bit. I don't blame her.
Did she call you Mr. Nickinson?
Well, she calls me that anyway.
Oh, ain't even going to touch that.
Jerry Hildenbrand, everybody.
Howdy, folks.
We got Andrew Martinick in Seattle.
Not cleanly shaven. Didn't have the time, but I'm here regardless.
And we are bringing Russell Holly back against our better judgment, but also by special request. So we will let those two forces. We'll let those two forces be at odds, I suppose. How you doing, Russell?
You are all doomed.
No more so than usual, right?
That's right.
So we're still kind of in the summer doldrums a little bit. I'm in a much better mood than last week, by the way. Did you guys see all that hate I got from my little column on Sunday?
I must have missed that.
How dare I take a spot that I take once a week to write about whatever the hell I want and write about whatever the hell I want? How dare I do that?
How dare you post something on the site that you're editor-in-chief of?
So, no, actually a lot of good feedback. A lot of, you know, whatever.
Next Sunday, just post pictures of cats.
I know, right? Be like the rest of the internet and just, here's a cat. I just wanted to look at the gorilla behind Jerry again. Say something so we can see it.
That is my King Kong movie poster.
Nice. If this is your first time joining us, well, it's always kind of weird around here, but welcome. We do this live on Fridays, most Fridays. It'll be on Thursday next week, and not Friday. What else do? We do it on video, so some of the jokes, if you're listening to the audio-only version, maybe you'll get them, maybe you won't. Probably won't be funny anyway. We'll see. And occasionally we talked about Android, so I guess we ought to do that now, huh?
If that happens.
We have to.
Where should we start? We're sort of in the summer doldrums still. You know, we're expecting Motorola to wake up any week now, but we're still waiting. Actually, let's start about Motorola. Android Police had a nice little scoop today with what looks to be some sort of pre-release prototype-y X+1. We still don't know if that's an official name, right? Though it's been kind of batted around so long.
Looks like
I thought it showed up on their website, didn't it?
Oh, that's right, it did. Yeah.
The actual X+. So, I mean, it may not be official, but at the very least, they're calling it that internally.
I know nothing.
Fair enough. Andrew, what were you saying?
I was saying that the pictures that we saw today, it looks like a Moto X and a HTC One M7 had a baby.
A little bit, huh?
Oh, I was thinking it looks like they had an orgasm because...
Oh, hey.
Well, that's an okay word. You don't have to bleep me for that.
But so it's wood on the back and then that, you know, milled aluminum with the same kind of injected plastic for the radios, you know, all along the sides. And it looks really, really good.
The weirdest flash ever. I assume that's what the ring around the camera is, because it's got these two spots that look like flash LEDs on either side of the camera. But it's like this ring that goes all the way around the lens.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bizarre looking. I've been staring at it for like 3 hours on and off throughout the day trying to figure out how exactly that works. Because that's what I actually get paid to do. Stare at photos that other people take.
Sorry, I'm over here laughing because I just sent out the tweet to say the podcast has started, and I kind of sent it out on all of our sites at one time. In fact, it's entirely possible. Let me see how many I just sent it out on. I sent it out on, like, all the social channels for all the sites.
quick, post pictures of cats.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Hey, that works.
Today, Phil gets an email saying he's no longer in control of the Twitter account.
Actually, I'm the only one in control of all of them. I'm warning all the other editors.
So I'm kind of wondering about that, the camera flash too. Is it just two flashes, one on either side, or is it kind of like a ring light kind of situation? I mean, that would be kind of a first. You're not used to seeing, you know, a flash on either side. You see these dual LED flashes that are together, but not like that.
Well, I'm not going to read too much into it. I'm thinking prototype. I'm thinking God knows what's going to change.
But maybe you should want a ring light.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the best thing that's ever happened.
But, I mean, looking at kind of how the seams line up and everything, this is obviously, things will change from what we see here.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't change too much.
More wood color options.
Mm.
I really like the dark one from the Moto X, the original Moto X.
I have a feeling they're not going to change too much. I think they're going to beef it up, they're going to add some more cool stuff in, and we're all going to be very happy. That is my prediction.
I hope the screen doesn't get too much larger, though. Because that was kind of the one thing that everybody loved, is that the screen was actually an acceptable, you know, fit in your hand and actually use it daily kind of size.
Yeah.
You know, and if they go over 5 inches, they might lose that.
I still use my Moto X every day. That's my daily driver phone. I don't see anything that needs an update. I could use this phone for another year, the way it sits.
But I was using it for up until like 2 weeks ago, and it started kind of lagging out on me when I started doing things. But up until that point, I totally agree with you. It was just perfect.
So anything that they change for the new model, because they have to make a new model. I hope they're very choosy and they turn us out something that is incredible.
Camera.
And they could.
Camera.
Yeah.
Like that's all. Mm-hmm. A little faster would be good, but camera. That's all I need.
Maybe it's just my eyes, but the screen didn't really do it for me either.
Well, it's just an average screen. Yeah, I admit that, but.
But as far as the size, the power, you know, the feel in the hand, everything was really good.
Awkward silence. That's all anybody has to say about it.
Well,
I'm more excited about the software than anything else. I want to see what other cool little things they come up with.
I just hope they don't step too far.
They haven't yet.
The software features they put in the Moto X, I don't see how you could improve those. So that makes me worry they're going to make new additions. Well, and
they could do more with the way that some of those things work. Like you take a look at the Motorola Skip. I love the idea behind the Motorola Skip tags, including the weird little tattoos that are now also Skip tags.
Mm.
But you know, they don't work as well with active display as they probably should. And you know, the active display setup stuff could deal with context a little better, you know, like function a little differently when I'm in the car and not just turning on my music, but like, you know, showing me different kinds of notifications. I think that, you know, they have the ability to be a little more expansive with what they already have. I definitely don't think they should do away with any of the stuff like active display or the special skip stuff. I hope that they take those things and go, these are awesome things. Let's make them more awesome.
I want to see some sort of Android Wear Motorola Assist thing. The more I think about it, and I need to write something, the more Android Wear kind of scares me in the car a little bit. Because I've gone from Pebble, which is, you know, I can look at it and I can just hit a button. And again, this is one of those points when I think having a physical button is easier to deal with than actually tapping the screen. I think it's easier on the brain and keeps you focused, you know, driving like you're supposed to be. But I want Assist to say, all right, you're in the car, you're driving. I'm going to mute your watch. I don't want your watch buzzing. If you want to look down and see something, fine, but it needs to shut off notifications. Because at what point is going like this and, you know, hitting stuff on your wrist and looking down and doing that, at what point is that any different than looking down at a phone?
It's not at all.
It's smaller. That means you have to pay even closer attention to it than the road.
Yeah.
You know, the personal responsibility side of me says, hey, you know better than to mess with your watch in while you're driving, so we really don't need to do anything. But the realistic side of me says that no matter what, somewhere down the line, somebody's going to say that the people making these devices have to make a few changes. So,
and maybe they will. Maybe they've already thought of that. Yeah. They're smarter than me anyway.
Oh,
I can ignore like the first two or three buzzes on my wrist when I'm driving. But like when I hit a stoplight, I usually gotta check and see what's up, especially if I hit that like that fourth buzz. If it's like, you know, in a row, then I gotta check and see what's up. And usually I don't have that problem because I have this thing that everyone swears is terrible for when you're behind the wheel of a car. But yeah, having the watch in the car is definitely it's a weird experience right now.
I would almost argue that the watch is more distracting than a Google Glass at this point.
Absolutely more distracting than Google
Glass. For everybody asking where the Q&A button is, I just checked because Google has changed things since last week. They've changed things since Wednesday. I just peeked at the site, and what we see is different than what you guys see out there. But take a look in the top right and see if it says Q&A and live, like right next to each other. And that's the only thing I saw when I was looking.
That would explain the lack of Q&A.
The lack of questions, yeah. I see people asking on Twitter. And other people on Twitter are noticing that everybody tweeted it once. And I'm still getting yelled at by everybody internally. Sorry. I'm surprised it took me that long to do it. We've had this great to use buffer for social stuff. And it's really nice, and it's really dangerous because I think I'm one of the only ones that has all 12 sites social things like right in front of me. So, whoops.
They would never give that to me.
Sorry about that. My fault. Anything else with that X+1 leak you want to talk about? I mean, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. There's a phone coming at some point. We're just all waiting.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it showed with a wooden back again pretty much makes me think that there's not going to be any wireless charging, which is a bummer. Not that they couldn't do it, but it would be more difficult, yeah. And they're not going to spend extra money. And that's one thing I really wanted to see.
I mean, it goes back to that thing, if the carriers don't want it, they're not going to make it.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, look... And let's take a minute and say, carriers, we want wireless charging.
And there's two schools of thought there, and I've heard both sides from people who, I don't know if they're involved in the process, but they're close to people that are involved in the process. So the carriers want it because they know we want it, but the manufacturers charge way too much to include it. And the carriers, because especially in the U.S. with the subsidy model, they don't want to pay an extra $6 a phone for hardware that only costs 9 cents.
Yeah.
And they say no. The other side is the carriers don't want it because they want to sell you a case that is over. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if they have a special, they have a special deal with PowerMat that furthers their own agenda to have that in there.
Which, you know, PowerMat is a perfectly fine company. They've been around forever and I'm still not using it. Chi1.
The interesting thing from what Jerry said there is that, I mean, they can sell you a wireless charger accessory to make up some of that money too. I mean, it doesn't have to be just a case. I mean, AT&T will sell you any number of different Qi chargers because they sell Nokia phones with Qi in them. So
they used.
I mean, I understand the upfront cost. They don't want to take that on though.
Hey, it looks like everybody found the Q&A. Cool.
Awesome.
Was it where I said it was?
Apparently.
So you have a Q&A question telling you how to open the Q&A.
Right? I mean, it's weird because we can't see it. But yeah, Qi charging. I would like it, but we should demand it. Pull out your pitchforks. Call your congressman. I don't know what to do. I mean, it's until they give it to us, we don't have it.
Yep.
I have to sit down tonight and find a cover for this AT&T G3.
Yeah.
Talk to three separate people that say, just put the cover on and boom, it works.
I bought one from Korea that actually fits here. I mean, it fits over the back of this thing just fine, like it's supposed to. It's got the hole in it for the antenna, though, so you know, awesome. You really probably shouldn't use it. But yeah, no charging. Like, it just didn't work. I don't know why. Yeah.
I want it to work.
So do I.
Yeah, it's not on the Sprint one either.
Let's talk for a minute about the NVIDIA Shield tablet. Andrew, what's got to play with this thing. Show it.
Well, actually, it doesn't look like a Shield tablet until you actually have it say Shield backwards and upside down. But it's a tablet that, you know, has serious gaming potential. It's, you know, Shield portable, but flattened out and useful for non-gaming things, which is kind of nice. And it has this magnet cover, which, oh my God, more manufacturers, please do magnet covers, because you need to be able to prop this thing up so that you can play games with this, the Shield wireless controller. So that's kind of the idea. They say it's a tablet. It's just an Android tablet that does everything just how you're used to. And then when you want to boot up some serious games, you can do that too. Uses the Tegra K1, obviously, which, you know, enables all kinds of fun things. And if you go even further, you can use this to stream to Twitch TV, which is, I think it's the first portable device that's ever been able to do that, which is kind of awesome if, you know, you're really into that sort of thing. And it's not restricted to just high-end games. You could load up Twitch TV and play, you know, Cut the Rope or something if somebody wants to watch you play Cut the Rope on Twitch, which is kind of cool, and it shows the power of this kind of device. But I've only had mine for like less than a day now, so I've loaded up some games. I've got to dink around with it a little bit, but I can tell it's a seriously impressive hardware device, and the software is all smooth and perfect, and it just, you know, it looks like your Nexus 7 pretty much with a lot of glare on the screen. But NVIDIA hasn't done anything to the software unless it has to do with performance or gaming, which is kind of refreshing and nice. I don't know. Ask me some questions about it. I feel like I've been head down into this thing, so I don't really know what's important.
I saw two speakers. It's got two front-facing stereo speakers.
Yep, let me...
Which would be great for gaming.
Yep, so big speaker on this side, and then that side with just a 5-megapixel camera that gets in the way. The speakers aren't, well, and you'll see on the sides, actually, there's kind of like a bass port that kind of lets it in. So they're not super loud, actually. They're loud enough, and maybe like 10% more. But the big thing is that the sound is deep and rich and has bass to it. So when you have this tablet propped up on your table and you're sitting a few feet back with your controller, you can still hear it. It sounds like you're playing it out of a small TV or something. It's pretty good sound, and obviously, you know, headphones is the best experience. But it's good. It's going to be enough. You know, it's not going to fill your room with music for, you know, a party or something. But, you know, if they were doing that, they're probably overdriving the speakers anyways.
And that cover, there are extra magnets built into the back that hold it in position, right? Because a lot of those covers, let's be honest, they suck in your
tablet. I don't want to drop it, but yeah, so you can see when it sticks to the back. It's not floppy, and so it also folds up and hits, you know, this kind of angle, that kind of angle, and then you can use it, you know, if you're typing like this, and then it locks in with little magnets into those slots too. So it's kind of, use it when you need it, don't use it when you don't need it, and it doesn't add all this extra bulk, so you don't have, you know, it's not flowing over into the side of the screen or anything like that. It's just out of the way. And of course, it's nice microfiber on the inside and kind of like a tough woven nylon material on the outside. It's really nice.
Now, the controller that you buy with it, it connects over Wi-Fi, right? Not Bluetooth?
Right. And so we should say it is a separate purchase. The controller is an extra $59. And yeah, it's a Wi-Fi direct controller, so it's made for this. It's not a generic Bluetooth controller. Wi-Fi direct has lower latency, obviously, than Bluetooth. And you'll see it has a headphone jack there. It lets you use headphone and mic on the controller, and it passes audio both ways to the tablet as well.
Okay, that's cool.
So you can hook up your headphones and mic in here. So, you know, otherwise you'd be tethered to your tablet and, you know, you kill somebody in some game and you jump up and your tablet goes flying on the floor or something. This, you know, it's connected and you'll see you also get, actually, wow, the brightness is really bad. It washes it out. This is all capacitive all in here. So this is volume up and down. You have a capacitive touchpad actually that you can scroll around with. Nice. And then you get back, home, and start buttons. This is all capacitive, so they're not physical buttons, which is you think that the button's just not working until you get used to it just being capacitive. But it's really nice. I was saying before the podcast started that it's way more comfortable than the original Shields controller because it's, you know, it weighs as much as a regular controller should. And no AA batteries or stupid stuff like that. It's just charges off a USB, has all the right buttons and everything. So it's going to be a worthwhile purchase. I mean, you can just connect your regular $15 Bluetooth controller, but it's not the experience that you want.
Can you use the controller for anything else? Could you use it with an Xbox or PS3 or...
PS4, I don't know that. I think it's set up just to pair to this. I mean, you press and hold the button, and it you press the software button on the tablet, and they just pair up. So I don't think that it's made to connect with anything else, which means you're locked down. It will pair now to the original Shield if you're using the original Shield, and you know, in console mode or something like that, obviously. And that's kind of the idea, is you get the wireless controller with all the buttons and everything. You can take the tablet, you know, put the cover on it, connect it to HDMI and USB, and just stick it under your TV. And you can use it in console mode. They have a big 10-foot UI, and you can use the controller to navigate everything. You don't ever have to touch the screen. So you're not going to be able to do that with the Bluetooth controller, obviously.
I would love to see this work with Android TV when it comes out.
Yeah. Right now, it's just you're launching the Shield Hub, which is, you know, their new version of Tegra Zone, which, you know, has been optimized for the TV with console mode. They were doing that with the previous version of Shield. But if you plugged it in, put it in console mode, and it went into Android TV mode instead, now that would be really, really cool.
Somebody make that happen.
Well, I mean, it should, you know, it's probably never going to pair with something like the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4 or anything like that, because those are Bluetooth connecting, but... You know, if NVIDIA were to release an app, any Android device that supports Wi-Fi Direct should support this controller just fine. Yeah. So it's up to NVIDIA. But with that, I mean, the ADT1 supports Wi-Fi Direct, so there's no technical thing stopping it.
Cool. Yeah, and considering they're doing really cool stuff with Wi-Fi Direct, like with the two-way audio and all that stuff, it's, you know, it's something that they can actually... They could get some people to buy $60 controllers to do that kind of stuff. That said, you're all in here. You're talking $400 when you're at $300 for the tablet, $60 for the controller, another $40 for the cover. So, you know, that's a bit of an investment, but, you know, everything works together, you know, as it should. You're not getting a cheap experience when you spend a little money.
I bought them both, yeah. And it was $399.89.
Boom, I wasn't lying.
Nope.
Now, we need to Wi-Fi Direct, guys. This means that when you pair it with your tablet is still connected to Wi-Fi, and you're on the internet. Your tablet's not an access point, so that's a big deal. It would kind of suck if your tablet had to come off the internet to use the controller,
right? Because I should say, I've used this tablet with the Wi-Fi Direct controller streaming a game to the tablet from GameStream from a PC. On a Wi-Fi network, so it does all work, and there's no cut down in performance or anything like that. They've done it the right way.
So as far as the actual PC games, have you gone through and played any that you prefer on the PC and just, you know, seen how it goes through? Or
I've only played a couple. I haven't played extensively. All today, I've just been playing Android games on the tablet itself, and after playing a couple of the, you know, they launched, I think, 11 new titles that have been specially made for the Tegra K1. I kind of wonder why you would want to go through all the hassle of doing the game stream stuff when some of these games just look beautiful and they're Some of them are online cross-compatible, playing against people on Xbox 360 and PS3. They're that level of game, and you can plug it into a TV and get that same experience. So I've only spent 15 or 20 minutes playing GameStream games right now, but I'm kind of wondering if that's going to be worth the trouble for a lot of people. Not you know, to say nothing of the cost of having your, you know, PC set up and everything ready and having the right internet connection and all that stuff.
I don't know if you remember the conversation that we had before the podcast started with Jerry, but I am personally a big fan of delivering a headshot while on the John. that's something that greatly appeals to me.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I do have the Wi-Fi version, so I don't have the LTE version, but I really wanted to, you know, go sit in a park somewhere and play a game stream game or something. So I'll have to bring a hotspot and, you know, see where I can play different games from the middle of nowhere.
Should go obscure places and play Borderlands 2.
Actually, I should go to the cafe at the top of the Space Needle or something and
there you go.
Play a game stream game. That would be kind of fun. We'll do something like that.
Do you think this thing is going to make it? I mean, like Shield, for as cool as it was and the neat stuff it did, just kind of died on the vine, right? The original Shield.
I mean, that's one thing that I was saying is the Shield Portable is a way more specific, which we should say it's called the Shield Portable technically now, which helps with the confusion, Shield Portable, Shield Tablet. But that's the Shield Portable is not good for anything but gaming. You know, you're not going to load it up and browse the web or use Google Plus or try to type on that screen like that. The Shield Tablet, even if you just wanted a really nice, really powerful tablet that can play casual games and, you know, has a nice cover and some nice accessories, this would do that. And, you know, the fact that it's a really good gaming device doesn't detract from, you know, it doesn't, you know, cut any corners in terms of regular performance. So in that respect, I think that a few people could be interested in it at the price, which is, you know, $70 more than a Nexus 7. And we should say it's 8 inches instead. So it's a little bigger, a little heavier. It's made out of metal, but it's going to come down to, you know, who's going to actually hear about what the NVIDIA Shield tablet is. And, you know, the number of people that it's going to be able to reach out to is a lot smaller than what the, you know, the latest Tab S from Samsung or the Nexus 7 is going to.
That's what I was going to say. The Tab S is going to be tough to market against if you want to try to sell a premium Android tablet. But I know a little bit about the K1, and there is so much untapped potential in there. If NVIDIA can get the developers on board to build more of these games like Andrew was describing, that's going to open up an entire new group of people to Android who maybe don't use Android today.
Right, and so the only indications of that right now, obviously they partner to get games specially made that, you know, because that's the really big thing is when you have a special made game that you get from Shield Hub that you just start it and there's no weirdness with the controller, there's no weirdness where it expects on-screen touches or anything like that. There aren't a lot of non-game apps that are, you know, going to be integrated like that. You know, they have a special version of Evernote that's ready for the stylus, which we should say has a stylus and full stylus support and all that stuff. You know, it has Netflix 1080p streaming, which is one of the only, you know, there's only a handful of devices that do 1080p streaming on mobile. But other than that, you know, you're just downloading and playing the same games, you know, at the highest possible level. But a lot of other devices can play those games at the same level, too, unless they've been optimized for
K1. I think if you were to put this on a shelf at a Best Buy next to a Tab S with a demo of it running through Portal or Half-Life 2 or something like that, you know, this is clearly something that the other guy can't do. And as far as the, you know, the game optimization, it's the same problem that Sony is running into right now with the PS Vita, and that's why they spent so much money to get Borderlands ported to the Vita so that it, you know, it was something that could sit on a shelf and look nice, and it worked for them. Mm-hmm. So I think that if NVIDIA does the same thing, you know, where they take some of these clearly PC classic titles and you know, just kind of have a level running through on a loop or something on a shelf somewhere, you know, it has the potential to, at the very least, do significantly better than it's been since then.
Yeah, and there's no reason why it couldn't appeal to more than just the people that are going into GameStop to buy games, you know. It could definitely appeal to more of a general audience, too. Like you said, if it's sitting on the shelf, you know, in somewhere like Best Buy, it can show off not only just the graphics power and everything like that with the game loop, but also just the hardware and, you know, look at this awesome custom controller that's made for it and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, whether or not that's going to happen, I'm not sure if, you know, they're going all the way with that.
We'll check back in on it, I think, in a few weeks after you get some more usage under your belt. When's it shipping?
Ships on the 29th.
Okay.
And pre-orders are already open in the US, Canada, UK on the 14th of August. And so they're going worldwide too. It's not going to be this weird staggered thing like they did with the original Shield. And LTE model is coming soon too. I'm not sure the exact date on that.
Cool. So we will check back in on that, I guess, in a couple of weeks. I can't say check back in today, apparently.
I'm excited about it. We haven't seen a lot of interesting tablet stuff lately, so.
Excellent. Well, we're going to do some Q&A in a minute, I promise, now that everybody found it. Everybody found the button. Yep, thanks, Google. First, we are going to talk about Lynda.com. They are back. We are back, and I'm still madly in love with this. I am learning so much Photoshop stuff. I'm Photoshopping all the things. In fact, we're using it all the time with Adobe Premiere as well. Lynda.com, Lynda, if you have not seen it, it's probably one of the easiest and best ways. Jerry and I have been using this for a long time, even before they became advertisers with the podcast. Just a really awesome way to learn how to do things. You need to learn how to use Photoshop, Premiere, I mean, just anything. I'm like, what do? Do I Google and just come up with all these results and maybe it's good, maybe it's not? I'm just going to Lynda and yanking out my headphones. I'm so excited. Look at that. And learn from people who actually use the stuff and who teach the stuff. And we were just telling Russell needs to really get involved with this because Russell writes really good instructionals on how to do things. You can learn to make videos. You can learn to make websites, just all kinds of really cool creative stuff. They now have Chromecast support, so you don't have to sit there and watch on a phone or a tablet or even at a computer. You can kick back. I'm knocking all the stuff off my desk. I'm so excited.
Chromecast support.
Yeah. How cool is that?
If you go to their website, you run the mouse across all of their icons. They all flip over in this really beautiful animation.
Yep.
I just found their website.
It's impressive. I don't just say that because they're sponsoring us. Like Phil said, I've been using them for a little over a year. And I'm very impressed. There's lots of places you can learn online, but I like Lynda.
I'm back. I had to pick up all the stuff. I was knocking off the desk. I was so excited. So here's the deal. 7-day free trial. Lynda.com/AndroidCentral. That's Lynda.com. Lynda/AndroidCentral. 7-day free trial. Thousands and thousands of videos. It's insane how much stuff is there. Try it. You will learn something. I promise you. It's so easy. Just do it. Lynda.com/AndroidCentral. All right. Let's get back into the Q&A and actually do some. Let's start with so many things on how to find the Q&A. Here's a good one, because I wanted to talk about this anyway. Smiler Online, if that is your real name, sir. Could you discuss Jerry's thoughts on Android for Enterprise? Well, I think Jerry's thoughts are all wrong.
Well, they could be. But they're still my thoughts.
Actually, I mean, big deal on that. Was it this week? No, it was this week they talked more about it. And how, you remember they announced it at Google I.O. that basically said, hey, thanks Samsung for making Knox. We're going to use it. And you guys are awesome and we love you again and we're all going to hug. And so they released some more information about it this week. Jerry, you want to give them the short version?
I mean, if you know how mobile device management works, you're going to be familiar with how it works. But if you don't, if you work for Phil and Phil has certain guidelines for company information, you can set up like a separate profile on your Android device, pretty much like you can do now for kids on your Nexus tablet. But this one, instead of being for kids, is for your business. And Phil will have controls online, and he can say, all right, we don't want this app to be able to run while this app is open, or we don't want this app to be able to share information with other apps. And it can go even more fine-tuned. – we don't want you to be able to do this in Google Drive while you're signed in to your managed account email. It's not new. This is something that people have been able to do with a mobile device management, MDM. I think Google is doing it the right way. They're going slow. They've introduced enough to get started and make it worth using rather than just give us the first little bit and say, here, this is how it's going to work in 2 years. They gave us something that hopefully will work. And I think they've got a great eye on the future because the way Android shares data from app to app or from your app to another app on another phone, it uses the intent system, and they have it all planned out how they're going to allow intents to be completely managed. So Phil will be able to say in his management console that, no, that document, that's company property. You're not allowed to share that with Jerry because I don't want Jerry to have control of that. So you go to the share button, and it just won't be an option. We don't yet know how it's going to work because we haven't seen it yet. But I really like where this is going, especially when you factor Chromebooks into it, because there's no reason that all of this stuff can't work together with Chrome. And if Google wants to say Chrome is good for the enterprise, they need to provide a way for people to manage. You know, if I've got 100 devices to manage, I want a nice, easy way to do it. And I think they see their end game this time. And let's face it, Google doesn't always see the end game.
And I think it's a pretty good sign that at least on the enterprise front, Google and Samsung are playing nice. I'm sure it's like any other companies where, they can bitch at each other about any number of other things, but this is an important one. I mean, it's an important one that BlackBerry still, I don't know if they rule on anymore, but BlackBerry obviously was the leader in the space. iOS got it down. They figured it out. And so finally, Android is going to take care of the BYOB crowd and make it work the way it should. And I want to say, you can't just let Samsung, do it on its own. I'm glad they did it. I'm absolutely glad they did it. But I think that sort of thing is better for the ecosystem, for the entire platform as a platform level thing and not just a Samsung thing.
Well, and as just a Samsung thing, wasn't it not doing well? My understanding was that Knox, as far as market share, was really low.
Well, and that's not to say there aren't alternatives, because there are. So yeah, we'll see. And again, I think that's another reason to put it at a platform level. I'm getting a little beyond my comfort zone. I have sat in a bunch of meetings on this stuff, but it starts getting a little over my head a little quickly. What was really interesting to me was all the complex levels, because you have Knox, but then you have these third-party players who actually have to implement it with the companies, and it's not just a matter of saying, oh, good, your phone has Knox, I'm going to just... I mean, it gets pretty complicated from a consumer level when you look at the admin side of it. I'm sure the admins are like, ah, that's easy. We've been doing it forever. But, I'm just happy it's coming, right? Anything that makes your phone safer for your business and lets you use your phone the way you want to use it, I think is a good thing.
And the fewer people that have to carry around two phones, right, that's, one for work is going to be great.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I, outside of the consumer space, I see nothing wrong with saying, okay, I've got 500 people employed here. Every one of them gets a BlackBerry 7 device. That's nice and secure, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and that works well. But it's always great to have more choices, and this gives one more choice.
Matthew wants to know, why is Wi-Fi calling being baked into iOS 8 and not Android already?
Because it's easier to do in iOS 8.
Is that the sort of thing that should be baked into Android? Because you have to remember, when you talk about baked into Android, as in like AOSP, you're talking low-level stuff that's going to work anywhere, right?
Well, you could bake it into AOSP, and then every manufacturer is going to change it.
Right.
iOS 8 is iOS 8. It's going to be baked in there. It's going to work. Nobody's going to be allowed to change it. They only had to do it once. That's why it's coming there first.
And I assume Matthew is asking about actual Wi-Fi calling and not like some sort of hangout-y VoIP type thing.
Right,
that's
right,
different.
Right.
That's different.
Right. Yes.
And I mean, you'll have to forgive my ignorance on Wi-Fi calling on iOS 8, but I'm assuming it's just the hooks there for the carriers to plug in their appropriate stuff where Because all the carriers, every carrier doesn't do Wi-Fi calling the exact same way.
And, or even at all.
Or at all. Sprint just started rolling it out.
I would think you're right, but
Verizon and AT&T don't do it.
Who knows?
I'm not sure if this is the same Matthew or a different Matthew. I apologize. I have very short-term memory. Does the Galaxy S5 LTE-A have the best phone display ever? DisplayMate states the regular S5 overall was the best already, but what do you guys think? I've actually seen it. I saw it a couple of weeks ago in San Francisco. And, I mean, it's QHD display. We've been talking a lot about this lately because Alex has been looking more into display stuff, and I know the Cyanogen and Mod guys are serious about it now with the phones that they're partnering up with, and it's not an unimportant thing. My question is, do most people even notice? I mean, I can tell the difference between one phone and another when I'm holding them side by side, and I completely get that there's this technical level that displays should reach, and one can certainly be better than another. Are my eyes that smart enough to even notice?
We are very close to entering the same chapter of smartphone tech that PCs had. I don't know, Jerry, you might, is it maybe 15 years ago?
What, am I old?
you also pay attention to the same stuff that I do. 15 years ago, where laptops were getting released and these same questions were getting asked, as we started reaching 1080p on these laptop screens, these same questions started getting asked, and then we had this weird ramp up where a bunch of laptops started doing greater than 1080p, and then everyone kind of shunted back down to 1080p for like 10 years. And the reason that it came out was that there were tons of reviews that would come out that were super negative about the technical accuracy of these screens, completely ignoring how different 10 people standing in a line view a single color.
Right.
And so it's we're really getting close to this kind of pedantic mess where, the technical accuracy of a display is supposed to be relevant. We're supposed to think that it's relevant. But I'm not convinced that, just like with laptops 15 years ago, I'm not convinced that that's going to end up being true.
Well, have you ever heard anybody say, man, the display on this HTC One M8 or Galaxy S5 or any other phone with a good display doesn't have enough pixels. We need to do better. There's more, like Russell said, there's more to making a good display than bouncing up the pixels. You have to do it right, and you also have to balance out the trade-offs. I think LG did a good job. I have a gut feeling that Samsung probably did a better job because they're Samsung. You may not like some of the things they do to Android, but when it comes down to hardware and hardware level, they're one of the best out there at doing this kind of stuff. But all that goes out the window if you look at tiny text on your phone. Or if you read in a language that uses small characters that are very dense. I do notice a huge difference there. There's a lot of fuss about the G3 has these weird sharpening issues. I don't see it on mine. I've taken a bunch of pictures and we've tried to find it. I don't see it. But I can tell you that reading the text on my G3 is much better than reading it on the M8 or the S5. So we need them to push forward, but we can't just randomly say one is better than the other without factoring in everything.
Somebody was yelling at me the other day because we haven't written more about the text sharpening that happens sometimes, and it doesn't happen everywhere on the G3.
I can't say I've noticed anything.
Yeah. I tried. I did try. I can't make it happen.
I see it in some apps. Now I'll try to pay attention and get an actual picture of it when it happens. I mean, like, I notice it. I know it doesn't look as good as it could, but like, I don't see it enough to make me want to take the phone back. So I don't know. Maybe I
want to see it. I have opened the same websites that people show me it happening on, or the same apps, and I haven't seen it yet.
Huh.
I'm sure it's there, because if it's there for one person, it's going to be there for everybody.
I've seen it, and I just can't remember what apps it was happening in now.
I want to form my own opinion about what's going on, and can they fix it?
I think some of it, in fact, I'm looking at it now at the calendar widget I use, and it's got a whole bunch of settings that go to it. And the fonts are a little different. They look kind of super thin and just not quite right. So like I think I get where some of that is, and I have a feeling it's just at the app level, and the apps are doing something a little bit different, and so they're not rendering properly.
And if I can get it to render improperly, microscope. We'll look at the pixels and we'll see exactly what it's doing.
I'll send you a link to what I'm talking about. Okay. You know. Yeah, I mean, we can figure it out. It, the times I have noticed it, it hasn't made me want to take the phone back at all. So, interesting display stuff. What else?
It kind of comes back to that, to you know, specs on a page. You know, we have to look at something deeper than the specs on the page, and that's where I'm concerned that the conversation about display tech is headed. You know, that by staring at them next to a couple of graphs, we can see that, you know, this one is technically superior, and that's why we should throw money at it. And that may not necessarily be true. I think it's going to be interesting to see over the next year how that pans out.
Man, you so eloquently said what I was trying to say.
Travis asks, with the L preview coming out months before the L release, do you think we will see carrier phones, such as the AT&T Galaxy S5, which I assume Travis has, updated sooner than in years past? That's a good question. No? Russell's saying no.
As far as I know, I have reached out to every single industry contact I know, and as far as I know, none of the people who are actually working on devices have code to work into their devices yet. That schedule is still exactly the same. This is all about getting apps ready for the next wave, which is cool, but it does mean that, you know, until Samsung and Motorola and LG and all these companies get, you know, that backdoor line of code to you know, fork onto their own devices, then, you know, the release delays look like they're going to be the same.
And I just... Every time, if you've got a Galaxy S5 and you want Android L as soon as possible, when Android L comes out, go to your favorite forum where the people with the Nexus 5 have Android L and see why you don't want Android L right away. Period.
And look,
everything is terrible.
You're going to get... I was actually just answering a question in our forums. They were asking about the HTC One M8 and how they think Sense 6 will work with L. And I guarantee HTC is trying to figure that out right now as well. Mm-hmm. Or not so much L, but material design was their big question. How will material design work with Sense 6? And I said, look, it's already working with Sense 6 right now, right? Because it's not just an OS L level thing. Some of it, you know, not so much the design. L, two very different things we're talking about, right? Material design and the whole physical virtual card thing is a design metaphor. L is an OS platform. That makes sense. Help me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Material design is going to reach to apps and services, and it's not going to be a complete system until, you know, just like when we jump from gingerbread to ice cream sandwich, it's the apps have to catch up before it's going to feel holistic, and you need both parts. Well, to simplify it, two parts. You know, there are thousands of parts, but, you know, it's not just the OS is going to get updated and all of a sudden everything looks different.
Yeah, I mean, you're still going to have apps that aren't following those design guidelines, and they'll just look different. You already have apps now that do, right? The Play Store just got updated, and it's in the process of being updated now. What was the Google app that just got updated? Oh, the Chrome Beta, right? So you can actually download that from Google Play right now.
And, the behind-the-scenes, you know, update for the servers for Maps brings us a little taste of nice, big, flat pictures and...
We've been using Google Plus for weeks. Some of the Docs apps already have it.
The biggest indicator of whether or not your manufacturer is going to pay attention and you know, modify their, you know, special blend of Android to match is, you know, look at how long the same manufacturers took to work with things like the transparent displays and making the homepage stretch, you know, from top to bottom and things like that. I think that's a pretty solid indicator of you know, who's going to make that shift right away and who's going to wait.
I bet you've got a better chance at it now, though, because they're getting this earlier look of, all right, here's the design that Google's going for. And instead of getting it in, you know, November and coming out with your phone or updates in, you know, February or March, you know, you're going to have that much longer to work on it from a design standpoint.
That's probably true. And HTC maybe that's the message there.
Yeah, and HTC has publicly said, you know, their goal is to get updates out within 90 days.
I just want all the OEMs to use the Material Design color palette. I don't want everything in HTC to have a black header, everything from LG to have a sandy neutral brown, and everything from Samsung to be bright screaming purple. I want them to use the palette. So the app that's pre-installed on my Galaxy S6 when it comes looks like an Android app.
Well, maybe. I mean, I certainly understand. I can appreciate that position. But at the same time, think about iOS and some of the really popular apps for iOS that don't follow Apple's design language. So maybe that's not a universal thing that, you know, it has to follow Material Design. But I guess maybe the appropriate way to say is if you don't have a really good idea of exactly what you want your app to look like, you should probably be paying attention to Material Design.
I just want a little continuity. That's all.
Have you tried Windows Phone? I hear that they're real big on.
Yeah, but I want continuity that's worth a damn.
You want to actually have apps to choose from too that could be continuous.
Jeez, have your cake and eat it too. That's
yeah.
Looking through the Q&A some more.
Marcus asks, are we going to talk about how Amazon lost money last quarter? How? They lose money all the time.
Amazon is
actually their strategy. As you start making money, then your valuation is based on a multiple of how much money you make.
Right.
If you lose money or you're break even, then the possibilities of your valuation are limitless, as Amazon continues to show.
I defer to Andrew on that stuff.
And they keep digging up blocks of Seattle and putting in more brand new buildings. So apparently they're getting money from somewhere.
From me.
So much of my money goes to Amazon this month.
My grocery bill every month goes to Amazon now too.
We haven't talked about the Fire Phone yet. We'll get to it in a couple minutes. We're going long this week. I love this. Like how I start off the podcast, it's like, I don't know what we're going to talk about. Next thing I know, it's like, we're going all night. Andrew, have you flashed the new stock ROM on your OnePlus One?
I don't have OnePlus One anymore.
Oh, that's right. You had to send it back, didn't you?
Yep.
You still have one, Russell?
I do not. Nope.
Nobody has one.
And, well, I've seen kind of more of a trickle out of reviews the last week. It seems like a lot more people got them. From invites or something, but
I could have got an invite and I could have bought one, and I would really like to look at this phone.
It is surprising. Andrew, did you have it in New York when I saw you?
No, I did not.
And I was messing with somebody's, and it was a surprisingly good device. I mean, really, really nice. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, love to spend a few hundred dollars on one. I'm not jumping through those stupid hoops for a chance to spend my money.
I think all 25 of them are really great.
Yeah.
My biggest thing is if I get one, and, you know, this is what we do for a living. We talk about Android phones. I don't want to, this is going to sound so harsh. I don't want to waste my time talking about a phone that everybody else can't buy. Just because I fell into being able to get one, so what?
And that's the difference, right? There's never mind how few of these are going to be sold compared to Samsung, because that's true of everybody, actually. The fact that you can't just go out and spend your money on one means I'm not going to spend our professional time on it. Like, as soon as they open it up and say, yes, anyone can buy it, just click here, give us $300, whatever it is, done. We'll be all over it. We'll have a blast. But until that happens, I'm just, no.
I think that the OnePlus One in CyanogenMod Incorporated is one of the best things to ever happen to Android, and definitely the best thing of this summer. It just is being done so horribly, it breaks my heart.
Ditto.
No.
How do we really feel about it, though? Wow.
Well, I don't mean to knock anybody. It's important to get Steve Kondik and his gang up there. You know, maybe they don't have the budget or the bank account that Samsung does, but they can build a damn fine operating system. They need to be up there commercial. getting that is just incredible. It makes me happy inside. But then that it's attached to a phone that, for whatever reason, nobody can get just kills it. And it just, I don't know.
And it's going to tarnish the brand for, you know, the next one, too.
We're going to look back at this. We're going to look back at 5 years and just laugh about how silly it was.
Yeah, but I think you could say that about most of what we do every day.
That's true, too. Actually, you could absolutely do that, right? I mean, this December will be, I think, my 5th year. I started doing this full-time in 2009, and I look back to my first CES and my first Google I.O. and my very first, you know, road trip for the Evo, the original Evo, and, you know, I didn't know a damn thing about what I was doing. I was horrible at it. Remember, before CES, I'm cold calling PR people. I'm like, can we come to your press event? They're like, who are you? We don't even have you. Go away. No, it's been a long 5 years. So, yeah, I can't even imagine how much, you know, right now is going to look in 5 more years. It's going to be funny. Marcus wants to know, why is Google teasing us with these small updates to Google Voice month by month instead of rolling out the full-on Google Voice Hangout integration?
Oh, man. You know,
it's time. Hangouts are dead. Or Google Voice is dead.
Look, phone calls are really complicated. They don't seem really complicated because we do them all day long and they quite literally just work. And not in the same way that some of the other things we know claim to just work. But they're really super complicated. All around the world, these phone calls are really super complicated. They can't mess with that kind of stuff the same way that they mess with some of their other products. They just can't. It has to be done slowly. It has to be done methodically. And it has to be absolutely right when they push it out. Because the second people can't make phone calls with Google Voice, no one will use it anymore. It's not like, we'll come back next month and things will work good. You know, if they fail, they fail permanently. And that's just how that works for most people when it comes to making phone calls. And I don't even think we're going to get Google Voice Hangout integration in the app that we see it now. I think Google Voice Hangout integration is going to come to Android in a fresh new material design look for Hangouts. I think it'll happen all at once. And I think when it does, these guys will have spent months testing to make sure that it's done right. I completely hijacked the podcast. I apologize.
No. You,
that's how it is, though.
You said what we've been saying for the better part of a year now, only you said it better.
And one thing to add, there's also layers upon layers of regulation attached to making phone calls.
Yeah,
it's not like you can build a Hangouts instant messenger app and do whatever the hell you want. When you're making phone calls, you have to deal with networks and government bodies.
And not just phone calls, but text messaging. If you...
Right.
I might see if I can actually diagram the anatomy of a text message for Android Central just to see how truly complicated the act of sending a text message really is, so that maybe we have a better understanding of how this stuff, you know, how broken this system truly is on the inside. But it's crazy, you know, and unfortunately I hang out with network engineers and you know, phone engineers who sit and, you know, when I make random complaints like, oh man, how hard could it be to do this? They talk at me for 4 hours. And I feel real dumb at the end of it. It's so complicated. And we don't understand because it certainly doesn't feel like it should be.
Please do, because I'm willing to bet that most people don't even realize the data channel differences with SMS and MMS compared to the data bars that are on your screen.
Yep.
Please do that for us. That would be awesome.
It'll take me some time, but I think I will genuinely try and do that.
And yay!
If ever you hear me say Google Voice is dead, because every time I see that, Google updates the app.
Yep.
So Google Voice is dead.
Now people are going to write in, can Jerry say that Google Voice is dead again, please?
We just have an app where we push the button and Jerry says Google Voice is dead.
Somebody in Mountain View is like, oh my God, he said it again. Update. Fine. All right, I want to close out on the Amazon Fire Phone. But first, you notice my exquisitely smooth face this week?
I want to touch it.
The beard is gone. I couldn't handle it any longer, which conveniently leads me into talking about Harry's and Harry's.com. Think about how much money you spend shaving, and this is one of those ridiculous things. When I start to think about it, I kind of get mad because it's ridiculously expensive. Harrys.com is a company that's less than 1 year old. It's already disrupting the shaving industry by giving you a better shaving experience, a better value than the other giants out there. They've used German engineered blades, so you know they're good. You think they're like recycled Mercedes? That'd be kind of cool. That'd be awesome.
I mean, that's the only explanation.
Yeah, right. But here's, you know, the way it works is really cool. $15. You get a handle, three blades, and shave cream just sent to you. Just like
ordering. Good luck doing that at Target, right? That's not going to get you anything.
I mean, $15 gets you like three blades maybe. And then I just, it's, I mean, when I stop and think about how ridiculous the amount of money I've spent versus $15 at my door, done. It's like, why did I mean, I could have used this 45 years ago when I started shaving at age two. That wasn't a good joke, huh? Fine. Hmm. No, $15 right at your door. And what's really cool is they have different plans too. So if you don't shave every day, they can send you, you know, less. You can do sort of like a subscription service. Really, really cool. Check it out, harrys.com. And if you use promo code AC, you can save $5 off your first purchase. harrys.com. You can be smooth like me. I hear my wife in the background saying, yeah, that's real smooth, honey. You're real smooth. All right. Amazon Fire Phone. I've got one.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
I bought one. It's available. You can get it. You know, I'm eating breakfast this morning, and Amazon has a whole bunch of advertisements in magazines right now, and there are a whole bunch of magazines on the table. My seven-year-old daughter sees one of the advertisements she's flipping through, and, Dad, I really want this Amazon phone, this Fire Phone. It says Amazon on the back, and no other phone says it. Like, she's writing ad copy at 7 years old, apparently. I said, yes, it does say Amazon on the back. So Jerry's got one, too. Jerry's got our review unit, and we've been talking off and on. I know the you know, first wave of reviews already hit, and everybody's kind of down on it. I'm surprisingly not that down on it. I don't think I would buy one. I don't think I would recommend you buy one, but as a standalone device, ignoring all the other smartphones available and the things we have in our pocket, I mean, this isn't horrible. It's actually pretty well done. And, you know, you could certainly, I have used worse phones, put it that way. Yep. Jerry?
And as a platform, if you think of the Amazon Fire devices as their own unique platform, and you should, they're not Android. They started that way, but they're not anymore. This is the best first try that I've ever used. You know, I tried the first Android phone. I've played with the first Windows phone phones when they were Windows phone and BB10 and, you know, the original iPhone. And this has done better. They have done their homework. And there's a lot there that isn't perfect. But there's nothing that makes me want to say, run away, don't buy this without, you know, adding on because of this other platform. If you take this as a standalone platform, it's pretty doggone good.
If this was the only thing available to you where you live, you could certainly do worse. Now, the problem is it's not, because it's still U.S. only, isn't it? Or is it just North America?
I think it's U.S. right now.
So what that's
what?
Is it U.S. only?
U.S.
Oh,
only.
The Fire Phone is AT&T only.
Well, then there's that too. Yeah.
Well,
I thought you were talking about other Amazon services. No, a lot of Amazon services are mostly U.S. or North America only, but the Fire Phone is beyond that. It's AT&T only. They don't have partners anywhere else in the world.
Is it SIM-locked? I haven't even tried yet.
I haven't tried.
Like most AT&T exclusive devices, they probably won't even unlock it for you for some time either.
I have to think that there's one model of hardware that's going to work GSM worldwide, including AT&T. I don't think Amazon has built two different models.
Well, but like, it has the hardware in there.
But. Yeah, like Phil said, it could very well be SIM locked, and Andrew made a point, AT&T doesn't have to unlock it because it's not available anywhere else.
Oh, it's, I was going to say, let's find out, but I forgot my... Oh, wait, no, that's my AT&T SIM. Where is my T-Mobile SIM?
I think also, Jerry, you know, when you brought up looking at the first Android phone and, you know, some of the other firsts, we're in a kind of a unique time where we have other firsts from other guys, and they don't hold a candle to this phone. I mean, you look at, I mean, we don't have a Tizen phone yet, but Mozilla and some of the other, you know, first offerings that are coming out from some of these other mobile operating systems, they're nowhere near as ready as Amazon. But,
I mean, the software that ran on like the Nokia X and things like that. Yes. I mean, it looks completely half baked compared to this.
And you can tell from the minute you turn this on, this is Amazon. This is
yep.
just the same way your Android phone is Google and does everything it can to push you at Google. This phone is Amazon.
Oh, and you set it down next to a Fire TV, a Kindle, a Fire tablet. It's all there, and it has the same experience and style across the entire thing, which, I mean, you have to applaud them for, you know, not giving up, you know, coming up short on the phone.
Can you see what I see here?
Yay,
Simlock. Figured it would be, just had to check. See, can I dismiss that? Yeah, actually, I haven't even used it on network yet. The basic UI, if you haven't seen it already, so you have like your main screen and you can flip through stuff. Then you've got this panel on the left with shortcuts to everything. Now, what struck me at first, and I actually had to stop myself here as I'm going through things, and like when I first hit music, you know, it started by taking me to the store. I'm like, great, all right. So I tap music, it's going to take me to the store every time. But that's not actually true, because after I listen to music and I tap music again later, it took me actually right back into the music player. That's actually really super smart. So, you know, at first I got mad at it, and then I found out it's okay. Let's see, I hit books for the first time. It took me to the Amazon books I have. That's cool. Let's try something. I'm trying to think of any of these I haven't tried yet. Maybe Docs. What's that going to take me to? Yeah, I don't know. So you've got that. And then on the right-hand side, you have kind of this info screen. And you actually have to sign into Amazon first. And by the way, that was kind of annoying because I use a pretty strong password on Amazon because, you know, it's tied to credit cards and stuff that's important. So I had to, you know, I'm used to one password that I can just go and get my password easily. So I had to type it in manually. That was kind of a pain. Small first world problems, I guess. But
your life is so hard.
Yeah, I know.
And Amazon does that three-panel view for all of its apps. Yeah. It's not just the home screen and a couple of apps.
Exactly. So it's this really nice paradigm that goes through the whole thing. You've got the – see if I can pull it off. You've got the weird wrist flick to bring open those – go away. There it goes.
Okay.
To open them up, you just, you know, twist your wrist. I don't know that I'm going to do that. My thumbs are so trained to just slide that it's
– you're going to drop a lot of phones doing that.
Yeah.
You know, just like the double wrist flick on the Motorola.
Same thing for pulling down for the – you've got airplane mode, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, you know, all your settings and stuff. And then, you know, you can pull it down like normal and your notifications too, I guess. Go away. Or you can do this weird like with your wrist. It's like, okay, I'm just going to pull down. Thanks.
And so this whole like kind of gesture thing and head tracking thing to, you know, look around interface elements and stuff like that, it's cool if it's there, but it's not something that's going to get somebody to buy this phone just because they can look around buttons on maps and, you know, do gesture flip in things. That's just got to be the baseline of, okay, it's there, but it also does all of this other stuff that your current phone does and more. And Amazon can't really say that it does that right now. Not a lot of developers are there making apps that make use of any of this stuff. You know, there aren't 50 different apps that plug into Firefly or anything like that. And I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I don't know, you know, a year from now, if there's enough Fire phones out there to ever entice someone to get into developing for that ecosystem.
Firefly is kind of cool. Like we were before the podcast, I was just running through these boxes of, you know, Nest, Nexus One, Nexus S, Galaxy Note, you know, these phone boxes behind me to see what it would recognize. And it did really well. It got the Nexus S, got the Galaxy Nexus, it got the Nest, it got the Chromecast. You know, I've been running through my house trying to do stuff. Jerry's been doing it with his, and like some things it recognizes, some it doesn't. It didn't recognize the Fire Phone box, which was kind of funny.
You can buy another Fire Phone
software.
If I were at Amazon, that's probably the first thing I would have taught it.
All of Amazon's products.
Yeah. But, you know, that's why I work here. It's neat. I don't know that, like...
it's just a parlor trick, really. Yeah, I mean... How often are you going to use Firefly?
I'm not going to be ordering my groceries on Firefly. I get the idea. I think it's a really cool idea. It's just I'm not there yet.
Back up. This is we're projecting because Andrew and you say, how often would you use Firefly? Dude, I would use it every time I went to buy something. Every single time. Because if I can buy it from Amazon, I do.
So then why put it into an entire phone? Why go through the hoops and the money and the headache of making an entire phone? Why not just make that an app?
Well, the Amazon app can already scan barcodes.
Done.
And if you're but if you're going to make your own phone, if you're Amazon and you want to have your own hardware with complete control over it, that's definitely one thing you have to put in it.
I understand that. But whether or not it's going to be a draw for people to buy the device, I mean, we should say a Firefly isn't just for buying things like physical items. It's
you can
recognize music and TV and
it does a fairly good job.
Numbers and people's faces and all kinds of stuff. It's more of like a also like an Evernote thing where it kind of just has a history of everything you've scanned and stuff like that.
All I know is these animated lock screens and you can move the phone around and change the I could sit and look at this all day.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that. So it's got the four, it's got your normal, you know, rear camera, your normal front camera, and then these four cameras in the corners. And it's crazy. Like, it's, I don't know, we can't call it parallax. It's like almost a weird AR type of thing when you're looking at it. See if you can see it on camera here as I'm moving it. And no,
unfortunately, it's not because it needs to see your face.
That's true.
Yeah. Actually, the effect is really, you know, when it sees your face and knows how far your face is from it.
Right. Yeah, I think I'd be smart enough to, you know, not try to do that on the podcast. Oops.
That stinks because this is a really, and this is nothing but neat trick. You know, I'm sure developers can tie it into their apps and, you know, maybe make cool games and stuff. But this is not the reason to buy the phone. But if this was on the shelf at AT&T, I want everybody to run out and pick it up and look at it. And unfortunately, you won't get to see it unless you buy one because these aren't going to be on the shelf at AT&T. I don't think that that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, they are.
I'll have to go down and see.
Why didn't you interrupt me and say, shut up, Jerry?
I'll have to go down and see if there's a big display or, you know.
Right, and that's my question. Are they... In AT&T, at least my store, I assume they're all somewhat similarly laid out. But like when I went to buy a G3 a couple weeks ago, it's just back there in the back next to all the other phones. And there's the G-Watch next to it. And I'm trying to remember what is up front. I think Samsung stuff is pretty front and center, actually. Yeah,
you need the front three quarters of the store for the Galaxy and the iPhone and everything. Well,
my two local stores here in downtown, The biggest things they're trying to sell you when you walk in are headphones and speakers and accessories. Not the phones are along the outside walls, but the first thing you see is, you know, all these extra things that they make a crap ton of money on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the stuff they get the higher margins on. And the peak thing is actually kind of cool / annoying. That's when it sees your face looking at it, and I tilt the phone a little bit, and it pulls up, like, tooltips or just little... You know, next to apps, it now says a new paid app for free every day. And it's not there all the time. The status bar is hidden. I mean, it's actually kind of a cool effect. And,
shows shadows behind numbers and letters that kind of move around a little bit.
My problem is it doesn't do it when I want it to do it. Right. And it does it at random times when I don't care.
And it makes everything look kind of fuzzy. And I was trying to take a picture earlier. And as soon as I get it this far away from my face... It's like, oh, hey, your face isn't there anymore, so I'm going to blur whatever it is you were trying to look at because that's the weird effect it does. And it's like, all right, fine.
And I found that the web page and book scrolling didn't quite work as well as I wanted it to either. It's always going to scroll a little too fast or a little too slow for you. It works a lot better than the regular eye tracking that Samsung tries to do when you look down and it scrolls. But, I mean, nothing really beats... putting your thumb on the screen and scrolling exactly how far or how fast you want to.
And, you know, battery life, just okay. It's not great. Certainly not up there with the other devices we're using now.
No.
And, you know, the four cameras and, you know, what the processor has to do affects it a little bit, but, you know, they're doing a good job of, obviously, that's not going to be, you know, a third of your battery life or something. But
now,
it's still there.
I do have one serious gripe, and this goes back to you if you consider it as a standalone platform, or if you consider it against everything else that's out there. I took a picture yesterday, just a random picture of my little smiley face coffee cup, because I wanted to see how good the camera was. There's no way, easy way for me to share it with anyone unless I use WhatsApp or Facebook.
Oh, you can email it to Phil, right?
Right. Because you're outside of Google's ecosystem or Apple's ecosystem or Windows Phone's ecosystem, and there's no interoperability there. That is going to cause a real issue for...
Well, why couldn't you use the web?
Well, have you ever used Google Plus on the web?
I have. There was actually a dark day where I was stuck using webOS for like 48 hours.
If you're using Windows Phone, maybe.
It was like 2 years ago. It was really bad. But yeah, it's obviously not nearly as good as as any of the other services. But Apple and Google both have worked really hard to have functional web interfaces. And I say functional, not good. So I mean, it is kind of available, just not in a great way.
Curse you, Russell.
But as soon as it's an extra couple hoops, then, you know, well, I'm going to go pick up my G3.
Oh, I'm used to being able to tap a button, share to Hangouts or Google Plus or any app I've got installed, and that's not there. There's a share button, and it ties in, because it's based on Android, it ties in with apps you have installed, but none of the apps the people who are listening to this podcast are going to use are on the share menu on the Fire Phone. And that, I think, is the only real problem with it, because everything else, it works.
It's not, I'm looking to see, I need to try it. Twitter's on there. I can use Twitter.
It is a collection of neat thoughts, it seems like, but perhaps not a complete thought.
Yeah, and still just, you've got to be really, really into Amazon to want this, I think. I mean, there's...
And as we said, we're all very into Amazon. You know, we spend a lot of money there, and we use it for a lot of things, but
I'm just also into
Amazon.
Yeah, I'm also into other things, and I'm not only into Amazon. It would be great
if Firefly and Mayday and some of these other things were apps that I could install on my phone.
Yep.
I need to click that toolbox thing to put a halo or a light bulb over your head. That's just it. The cool stuff that's on here, I instantly said, oh man, I wish this G3 had this.
Yep.
Oh. We're going to get hate mail. Why didn't you hate the Fire Phone more? Because it's not horrible.
No, it's... Yeah. I'm familiar with the UI because I do use a Kindle tablet. But I like what I'm seeing here. I really like what they've done. It's first generation, and there's bugs like Phil and I were talking, that Peak doesn't work like it should every time. But I think that they could go forward with this and build a really interesting user experience.
And I think Amazon looks at things differently than we and manufacturers do, right? Even if this doesn't work and not that many people buy it, I don't think they're going to pull it as quickly as you saw the Ken die or the HTC First die or the other Ken, Facebook phone die. I think Amazon's probably going to stick it out, because it's all about getting people into Amazon. And if it's enough of a loss leader that it works, then you'll still see it around and you'll see more.
They hand people a year of Prime with that phone, and then they renew Prime, and then they buy more things.
Yeah.
And when you tap to open books, you're directed right to Amazon store where you can buy a book. You know you can buy it elsewhere, but one-click shopping from this device, and Amazon gets that money. I don't see them abandoning it without any real reason, and you know, small user adoption is not going to be that reason.
I don't completely understand the ins and outs of the financials, but I have a pretty good idea of how they work, and I think we totally, not underestimate, but lumping Amazon into that same category as LG Mobile or Samsung Mobile or HTC is not the right way to do it.
Different,
not the right
way to think about it.
Amazon has the second biggest advertising platform on the entire internet. You know, they are only second to Google in that when you go to Amazon.com, the first thing you see is a gigantic ad for the Fire Phone. Every single time I go to Amazon, which is several times a day, mm-hmm. and I realize that I am there more often than probably the average internet consumer. But that is a powerful, largely free advertising platform that they have for their own products. And it's the same thing they've done with the Fire TV and the Fire tablets and the Kindles.
And by the way, every time I'm like taking little Firefly pictures, whatever, of things around my office or at home, I'm telling Amazon that I'm interested in those things and it should show them to me.
There are real privacy concerns to be discussed with this device. Very, very real. Just like there are in Android, but we're familiar with Android and are a little more familiar with the answers of how it works. And we're going to have to talk about the privacy issues with the Fire Phone. It's looking at your face and recording you 24/7. Anytime you have the phone turned on, it's recording what it sees and what it hears.
It knows when you're sad. And
what is it doing with that stuff?
Right. We need to make sure that Amazon's not doing anything stupid with it.
It's taking that stuff. They talked about when they announced it, how many faces that they had to record and scan to try to figure out what a face is, to have a good idea that if you're holding up a coffee mug that has, you know, your kid's, you know, face printed on it, you know, that's not a face, and that your face that's actually alive is one. That's what that's doing. I mean, they're bringing in pictures of faces so that they can figure out better what a face is.
I am sure.
There's nothing nefarious there, obviously.
Right. Amazon has too much to lose by doing something stupid with a picture of your face. I don't think that they are, but I think we need to discuss what they can, can't, and are doing.
And the thought about the pictures of what you're uploading with Firefly is that that's real. Amazon knows better than anybody from all of their apps across all platforms what you're searching for, what you're buying, what you're, you know, considering buying, all this different stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of power in how much data that they have, sitting up in their cloud there.
But we're still going to see Facebook ads for crap we've already bought.
Yep. All right, well, we're going to talk about the Amazon Fire Phone some more, I think. Never mind how bad people think it is. I think it's an important device and a lot of interesting stuff going on there. So we're not done with it. I'm kind of intrigued, actually. But I am going to call it because we've been going for 90 minutes almost. That's awesome. That's one of our best podcasts lately. I think we owe it really all to the fact that Andrew is here.
Oh, I was going to say Russell.
No, you totally carried this whole thing.
Oh, man. Any more Q&A we want to do before we get out?
Oh, let's look.
Take one last swing through there. Do you think Android TV devices will have cable card support? No.
Cable card.
No.
That's you're just not asking for pain.
Yeah.
That's what killed Google TV.
Yep. We're just going to go through these fast. Got to love the Nexus Q behind Phil. Yes, you do.
Does the Shield tablet heat up a ton when you do intensive things? I played a high-end game for about a half hour, and it was warm to the touch. I wouldn't say hot at all.
Cool. I'm trying to find that so I can select it so people watching can see it. But
down towards the bottom, Domenico.
There it is. Good. Selected. Sorry, I just slowed us down. How convenient is the LG Circle case? Is it worth the money, or should I just buy a back that supports wireless charging? Circle case is okay. I keep like hitting it with my thumb when I've got it wrapped around, and it just feels weird. But the Puppy Pop game is...
Puppy Pop, yes.
Just buy it for that. Two more. Let's do two more. Quickly, whatever happened to the rumored Nexus 8? I don't know if it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Rumored. Yeah. Tablets get killed all the time, guys. I mean, products get killed all the time, not just tablets.
I heard it was canceled, and then they picked it back up and handed over to another team.
There you go.
That made all of that up. Don't listen to me.
Will the Note 4 be the best phone of the year? We should probably wait till it's announced.
Yes. Yes, let's wait. Do you think we might see an Apple Android Wear device?
I'm writing it. As soon as we're done, I'm writing the post.
Do you think we might see an Apple Android Wear device? I hope so, but probably not.
Oh, there's a winky face at the end of that
one. Oh, yes. Well, I still hope so, but probably not. All right. That's it. We're done. Email us if you want, podcast@androidcentral.com, or show up live. Live is so much more fun. You can get us all on Google Plus. Just search our names. Easiest way to find all of us, right? Nobody has a weird Google Plus name now that they don't have to be real. I hope.
Well, they never really had to be real.
That's true. Get us all on Twitter as well. Just search our names there. Even Jerry's back around a little bit. As we are every week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Call them at 888-468-6158. Or go to ShopAndroid.com. If you haven't looked yet, the HTC One Dot View case is like, I think it's like $30, maybe a little less than that, actually like $26 or something. Ridiculously cheap. I have no idea how long that's going to happen or keep happening. So go get one as soon as you can because it's really cool and they're doing good stuff with it.
Don't try to make your own.
Don't try to make your own. Doesn't turn out well for anybody.
Leopard print background with your dot view now too.
Yeah. That's it, Russell. Thank you. Next week. I didn't mean to like blow Russell off that quickly, but I just didn't want to forget. I was like, oh crap, I got to remind people next week. Next week, I think we're going to podcast on Thursday because Friday, and this is going to be really cool. Friday, I'm going to be in Dallas. With the Geek Beat crew, and they have like so many celebrities coming. Ed Begley Jr. is going to be there. Chris Perillo is going to be there. I just totally forgot the rest of the names who are going to be there, but it's all people way more famous than me. So,
Ed Begley Jr.?
Yeah. How
the
awesome
Ed
is
Begley
that?
Ed Begley Jr. from Transylvania 65,000?
I assume so, unless there's another one running around out there. So I will be there with John and Callie, helping them celebrate the opening of their brand new Geek House. So be sure to go to geekbeat.com next Friday to see that. And Thursday, you'll be back here with us. So we will podcast on Thursday. That's it. Russell, thank you again. Take my time that time. Andrew, Jerry, thank you.
Phil?
Thank you, Phil.
See everybody next week. That episode of the Android Central podcast was brought to you by lynda.com. That's lynda.com with more than 2,400 courses taught by industry experts. Watch video on how to learn Photoshop, Adobe Premiere, how to make a website. Watch it with your Chromecast. Watch it on a tablet. Learn all the things. Go to lynda.com/AndroidCentral to get a free 7-day trial.